Hello, everybody. Happy new moon. Happy almost eclipse. So it is kind of exciting times for better and for worse. Sorry about the Mercury retrograde. No, I can't apologize for Mercury being retrograde. I can apologize for me not paying attention that, yes, last episode was the last one in the series and I didn't renew it. So some of you guys made it up here, which is amazing. I almost didn't. So from next week, it should be easier. So let's dive right into it because we are less than 24 hours away from the second eclipse of this year, which is supposed to be the most intense one because we're talking about a total solar eclipse. It's not a fake one. It's not a half one. It's not an alternative one. It is a full-on eclipse. A solar eclipse means that we are having a new moon with us. Let me see if that works. It doesn't. So let's start talking about the eclipse. We have the eclipse on April 8th. As you know, it is the American eclipse. It's not because everything is American. As Bowie said, God is an American. But it is just because the eclipse starts off in Central America, around Mexico, and goes up all the way to the corner, the east-north corner, or the northeast corner, I guess it's the same corner, of the United States. So it really covers, it like slashes through the United States. I'll show you later on this really interesting thing I sent over Instagram. It is the map of the United States with all the booking of Airbnb that is done for tonight, so people can actually check in today so they can see it tomorrow. And you'll see that it basically covers the path of the eclipse. So as above, so below, but taking in a more commercial level. So what we have is coming up the eclipse. The eclipse is a pretty big thing. Because every year we have two eclipses, a solar and annular, a yin and a yang eclipse. The lunar eclipse usually talks about a completion of processes. It really affects much more, people who are more connected to their emotions, feelings. It doesn't have to be feminine necessarily, but people who are more open to their feminine side, to their anima, people who are more artistic, people who like to create much more, people who are okay with feelings. That affects them much more, this full moon. It is associated traditionally with people who are employees, meaning that people that are forced to flow with a control of somebody else above them. The solar eclipse traditionally was talking more about kings and queens and royalties. Thank God we don't have that many of them anymore. But it does talk about people who have more control over their own path. Let's say that. So if you're self-employed or if you are more of an independent person, more about conquest, more about getting things done, more aggressive, let's say, more rational, then the solar eclipse affects you more. And if you're kind of in between, which is most of us, then you are always affected by the period between the lunar and the solar eclipses, which is what we call eclipse season. So for everything, there is a season, and every year, for twice a year, for 2 weeks, we have that period between the lunar eclipse and the solar eclipse, or the solar eclipse and the lunar eclipse. And those 2 weeks, which we are now in the midst, are considered to be the most intense. If you look even at the news, at the terrible tragedy that happened with the seven kitchen workers that were killed in Gaza this week, you see it very clearly. You see the fog of war, you see the confusion that war creates, or the nastiness that it brings up and it bubbles up. That is the Mercury retrograde in Aries, and everything is pushed much more fast or much more profoundly or more powerfully because of the fact that we have the eclipses. So the eclipses to force everything much faster. And what I've noticed is that the eclipses are not always about forcing things faster or stronger. Sometimes what the eclipses do is they bring it into awareness. So if you're talking about a situation like what happened in Gaza, everybody is going to know about it because the eclipses is just like this megaphone, this amplifier. So you might be saying something very quietly, but around the eclipse, it's reverberating and roaring throughout the neighborhood. You know, so that is what we can say the eclipse does. It just pushes things forward. It just makes things very much in the spotlight. It's qualities is very much red. It's like cannot be unseen in a sense. So it's very much about being seen, being noticed. And again, because we have retrograde, it's a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding. They didn't know who they're shooting at. They did know who they're shooting at. You know, all of these things are even more magnified. Again, because of the retrograde, Mercury retrograde in Aries. Aries is the sign of war. And on top of the new moon, and on top of everything, remember we talked about what makes this eclipse much more profound and powerful is the fact that it falls 19 degrees Aries, and 19 degrees Aries is where we have Chiron, the wounded healer, right now. So we have the wounded healer on top of the sun, on top of the moon, which is kind of interesting symbolically speaking and mythologically speaking, because as we talked here many times, Chiron, the wounded healer, the one that can teach everybody, heal everybody, but not himself, was actually abandoned. That's why Chiron is a lot of time associated with abandonment, but also was adopted by the sun and the moon, Apollo and Artemis, who once a month come together to have a beautiful stride or a stroll in the night sky. But twice a year, they meet together in an eclipse, and that is a very powerful meeting. So this year, they are coming together. There is a reunion of the father, the mother, sun and moon, and Chiron. It's kind of a trinity of healing in the name of the sun, the moon, and Chiron, the father, the mother, and the child. So that trinity is activated in this eclipse, and it pushes forward and magnifies any kind of afflictions, any kind of wounds, any kind of scars that you might have from early childhood that might be the source of some of your fear of abandonment, of lack of boundaries, or clinginess or neediness, because all that form of clinginess or dependency and codependency is just don't leave me, holding on as tight as they can to whoever it is. So that is kind of the baby that clenches, you know, the baby reflex that we have a lot of time when we drink alcohol. So that idea of holding on as much as possible, or holding tight to the branch, maybe the path of the monkey, or the hand of the mother that feeds us. So that feeling of abandonment, feeling of not belonging, paradise lost, all of these syndromes are kind of coming up and bubbling around the new moon in a solar eclipse, that we have today, tomorrow, Tuesday, because the eclipse is not just like, okay, it passed over the sun, that's it. It has some form of a quiet before the storm, the quiet after the storm, and the storm itself. So again, what we're having with this eclipse specifically is opportunities to heal a lot of the wounds that we carry with us that could be traced back to a feeling of abandonment. The feeling of abandonment could even be how your mother weaned you out of her breast, you know, because that maybe was your first abandonment, or the fact that you were actually born and the abandonment is from that feeling of oneness and the bosom of God in a way, or the oneness or the spirit. So we all have these issues of abandonment, even if we were raised by this beautiful family all our lives. Still, this mortal coil is nothing compared, like Shanid O'Connor said, nothing compared to you, when that to you is, of course, God. So that is the nature of this eclipse. Now, the Sabian symbol, I think we talked about 19 degrees, is a young girl feeding birds in winter. A young girl feeding birds in winter. That is the 19 degrees, or the 19th to the 20th degrees Aries. Well, it's neat. At least it's not something terribly morbid, except the winter part. It's not really clear. What is the winter doing still in April? But I warned everybody, this year is going to be messed up because remember we talked about Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year is supposed to happen on the new moon in Libra because it's a leap year we celebrated in Virgo. So all of those prayers that were directed very strongly that are for Yom Kippur, 10 days into Libra, and Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of Libra, were completely off, energetically speaking, because you were doing that prayer during Virgo. So I should have talked to the rabbis and tell them, maybe you guys all over the synagogues, all over the world, could have changed your prayers for Rosh Hashanah to make them a little bit more Virgo-oriented and less Libra-oriented, because this is messing up all of the archetypes for the rest of the year. And yes, it was a terrible year, so definitely blame it on Rosh Hashanah. But the idea is that we are now coming to the, let's say, the peak of the eclipse season. And from Tuesday, Wednesday, it's starting to cool down and it's starting to kind of return to normal. Then we have the powerful full moon, the vortex that is Passover, the Last Supper, on April 23rd. And then we're going to have the retrograde done on April 26th. So now let's look at day to day, and then we'll return to the eclipse to see how the eclipse is affecting different signs. So first of all, today, April 7, the Sunday, we have the moon moving into Aries. She needs to move into Aries because we're going to have the eclipse any moment now. So the moon is kind of lingering there, still in Pisces, depends where you are. But she was just going over Saturday, Friday on Neptune. I hope you used it to connect into your meditation. I was yesterday talking about it in the class I did for 2024 in Santa Monica. Thank you guys for making it there. And we talked about, in general, how Saturn in Pisces forces us to ground our energies of Pisces. What is Pisces? Movement, dance, meditation, yoga, imagination, mysticism, photography, cinematography, empathy, the ability to literally walk in the shoes of other people. Feet, shoes are ruled by Pisces. But one of the most important things that it can give us is an ability to meditate for longer periods of time. Saturn is the Lord time. Saturn in Hebrew, Shabtai, Lashevet, sit. The day Saturday is actually named after the verb of sitting down, of quitting, of going on a strike, on not doing anything, just chill out. And people think that God rested on Saturday, on Shabbat. But that's not true. God does not need to rest. That's completely a projection of a human being thinking, oh my God, I worked 6 days, I need a rest. God doesn't rest. But what God did, according to the story of Genesis, is on the seventh day, he didn't really rest. He invented the idea of resting, or he created the concept of rest. And think about it, even today, when you are told, okay, let's imagine we want to mimic God, imitatio Dei, so you need to direct yourself, or you need to force yourself once a week for a day to rest. And you'll see that it demands a lot of work to rest, that it really is that easy. That a lot of time we work because we escape to work. Remember, work is Virgo. Opposite to Pisces, Pisces is escapism. So some of the obsession of Virgo with hard work is an escape. Escape from themselves, escape from life, escape from their partner, escape from the kids, escape from the family, whatever. So there is a connection between work and escape. Escape from work, work is as an escape. So what we need to do is we need to carve a time. We need to actually create a space for rest. Because resting is not something that easy. It's not like resting is the lack of work. Resting is itself some kind of work for a lot of people. And I'm not talking about drinking margaritas at on your pool. That's not really resting. That's contaminating your body. That's a lot of work that is just negative. You're doing something negative to your work. This is not chilling out. This is not relaxing. I'm talking about a real sense of peace and relaxation. And the only thing I can think about is, of course, sleep, which is ruled by Pisces, dreaming, which is ruled by Pisces, but meditation, that is ruled by Pisces. So Saturn in Pisces, which is happening since March of last year until February of 2026, it's one of the best times to actually elongate, I don't know if you can say that, or spend more time resting, meditating. So if you usually meditate 20 minutes while Saturn is in Pisces, you can get to 40 an hour easily. If you usually meditate 3-4 minutes, now it's the time to get to 20 minutes. So Saturn in Pisces can really help you do that. And because we have now Mars in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, and even the moon once a month comes to visit Pisces for 2.5 days, it's a very big emphasis on Pisces. And we should definitely use this big wave of Neptune in Pisces to help us meditate, because next year it's gone. And it's been there since 2012, so you have no excuses. You have to catch that big wave. So again, Saturn in Pisces, a great time to meditate. And today, the moon is still in Pisces, and it's slipping into Aries. And then we have, of course, the preparation for tomorrow, April 8, for the eclipse. So that will be the eclipse on April 8th. Today, the moon is in Pisces, Neptune in Pisces, Saturn in Pisces, Mars in Pisces, and we have a pretty quiet time overall. Even the black moon is getting good energy, except from herself, from the moon itself, but that already passed. And we're getting two things happening this week that are really important. Of course, the eclipse that is really crucial, and finally, the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus that we've been talking about for a long, long time. But they are going to be conjuncting officially on April 20th and 21, which is precisely when the Bitcoin halving is supposed to happen. I checked. The halving happens, of course, every 4 years, like the Olympics, like the changing of presidents here in the United States. And it never happened on Mercury retrograde. This is the first time it's happening on Mercury retrograde. And Jupiter is expansion. Taurus is money, finance, hence the raging bull. Uranus is technology, innovation, computers, digit, hence cryptocurrency. It's overall supposed to be really good. A lot of expansion opportunities. This happens every 13 to 14 years. So we never had that in a halving. So this is kind of interesting times. And we'll have to check to see how it affects the Bitcoin. And again, the fact that it's happening on the first day of Taurus, which is the sign of money, on April 20th, and with the conjunction of once in 13, 14 years of Jupiter on top of Uranus, it's kind of an interesting time to halve something. And it's supposed to be, expect the unexpected. Whatever people are saying that's going to happen, ain't going to happen. Something different is going to happen. We have Venus already moving deeper into Aries. You might be a little bit more aggressive with your relationship, a little bit more demanding in a relationship, and also wanting more fire, more speed, more movement. And again, we have definitely an emphasis of Pisces and Aries, the last sign and the first sign, with Venus, the North Node, the Sun, Chiron, and Mercury. They're all in Aries. So definitely have a fire-water week, which creates a lot of steam. Steam is air. A lot of thoughts, a lot of thinking. If we look at the day after, which is April 8th. Well, first of all, it's interesting that we actually have the eclipse this year on April 8th, when this year, 2024, is a year of 8. I think we talked about it, how 2024 adds up to 8. And 8 in infinity is magic. It is a connection to a splendor, reverberation in the tree of life. So it is a powerful period of movement in the head. So Mercury in Aries already is very heady and rational. Because it's sitting on top of Chiron, the wounded healer, it could bring you insight into issues that you might have intellectually. We talked about it, abandonment. Even problems that you have maybe in your business, marketing yourself, being able to spread the word, these kind of things, you can actually get a lot of clarity on this new moon, on this solar eclipse, especially if you figure out a way to dedicate this eclipse to that. Now, one of the things that I would recommend doing in the eclipse is, because it's a fire eclipse, take a piece of paper, write down all the things that you want to start anew in this year. Because don't forget, this is the first new moon we have in the astrological year. So we started the year on the 20th of March. This is the first new moon of the astrological year that is guiding 2024. So this is the beginning of the beginning. But because it's retrograde, it's not the best time to start anything unless, remember the rule, you start something that you've already started in the past. And if you do that, then it flows much, much better and much easier. So you can write down on a piece of paper what is it that you want to initiate for your new year in astrology, astrological new year, that has to do with your body, your image, your energy level, leadership, initiation, health, you can even put in there. Any kind of whatever you want to bring into your life that could bring more passion, more energy, because these are the qualities of Aries. Anything to do with healing because of Chiron, anything to do with business because of Mercury, put it in a piece of paper, then burn it consciously so you don't burn the whole forest or your whole city, and burn it and just meditate with the ashes, meditate with the smoke, meditate with the paper slowly incinerating, because there is something about open eyes meditation, especially when we talk about the sign Aries, which does have to do with seeing or being able to see, so that you can really imagine how your words are carried by the fire to the collective unconsciousness. So that's one thing that you can definitely do on April 8th, the day of infinity. 8 is the number of infinity, the number of magic, There's a lot of magic happening tomorrow. And of course, the eclipse quickened everything. So if you send a message up there, at least everybody up there is going to hear it. Remember, we talked about it. It's like a magnifying or an amplifier. So it is a eclipse that has to do with the North Node, which is always better. And the one that's going to happen in the fall is going to be a South Node a solar eclipse, which is not as comfortable. So this solar eclipse is a new direction. It's almost as if the driver in your car decided to turn in a certain way to drive you to a better place. It's not we're going off-road because there's a problem. We're going off-road because the GPS found a quicker route to get to our destination. So again, there could be some shortcuts coming tomorrow. Overall, tomorrow we're also having the threatening conjunction of Mars and Saturn coming together. You know, Mars and Saturn are going to come together in this week, very close to the time that Jupiter and Uranus is coming together. This is the very close time to when the Sun and the Moon are coming together in an eclipse. So like we said, whenever there's a lot of conjunction, Mars and Saturn, the Moon and the Sun and Chiron, Jupiter and Uranus, it means intensity. It means that a lot of things are basically fighting for awareness or recognition or attention, in a sense. There's a lot of scream. There's a lot of feeling of noise. Mars on top of Saturn, it's a good time to connect to physical activity. It's a good time to take control over leadership situation. And it also is interesting because it's some kind of a, not a clash, but a union between Mars, which represents younger men, and Saturn, which represents older men. You might meet somebody who is older than you and actually younger, or somebody who's younger than you that is a very old soul. Something is mixing there. But also, because Mars is on top of Saturn, there could be some karmic issues coming out of war, especially war that is related to water, related to religion, because Pisces are those things. Or because Mars now is in Pisces, which is immutable, there could be some changes around everything that has to do with the war, whether it's in Ukraine, whether it's in the Middle East. But there is, and again, we're expecting the retaliation of the assassination of the Iranian general. So there's definitely some things brewing that has to do with the eclipse. I'm pretty sure the Iranians are waiting for the eclipse, because again, whatever you do on the eclipse or around the eclipse is magnified and becomes much more dominant. So more people are hearing about it and more people are affected by it, for good, for bad. So that is the eclipse. The eclipse, as you can see, 19 degrees Aries on top of Chiron, 19 degrees. And besides that, we have actually a beautiful trine between Venus and Minerva. So there could be some good suggestion or good ideas or good advice that you might be getting in connection to finance and relationship, because those are the two things that Venus represents. Even your self-worth, even your own sense of self could get much better and much easier because of that. Now, Mars in Saturn. How do we worship Mars and Saturn and get the best of it? Because that's the way you do it. You know that Mars and Saturn are going to be very dominant because they're going to come together. Okay, where's the closest temple to Saturn? Let me go and slaughter some goat for him and save a goat for Mars. Also, I'll go to the temple of Mars after. Yeah, that's what you would do in Rome. Probably very expensive, kind of bloody, and not very nice towards animals. But what you could do is think, okay, what is Saturn? What is the temple of Saturn? Saturn is about discipline, plan, persistence, endurance, focus, maturity, older guys, people that are more experienced than me. Okay, so either you're going to spend time with them this week, or you might have attempt to connect even more to your discipline. We just talked about Saturn in Pisces discipline about meditation. Maybe it's time to meditate much more, or to do something by water, or to connect much more to that connection between discipline, Saturn, and Pisces, water, emotions, feelings, and so forth, imagination, intuition. The temple of Mars is action, movement, doing things, being physically active, especially in water, or through movement, because movement, dance, meditation, yoga are very much related to Pisces. So that's the way you work with the planets. It's not like you're going to sit there and say, oh my God, what's going to happen when Mars is on top of Saturn? Well, there are certain things that necessity, ananke, fate must bring to the surface, okay? We can't control if the Iranians are going to retaliate or not, or what's going to happen in Gaza, what's going to happen with Putin, right? But what you could is in your inner world, in your own world, worship these planets the way that you should, which is by connecting to their archetype. And because Chiron is on top of the sun tomorrow, do something that can heal you or heal other people, and or help other people deal with their fear of abandonment or their feeling of not being connected or not being part of something. So those are the things that you can do. But regardless, tomorrow you might have a little visitation from the goddess of wisdom, Athena or Minerva. Now, on the Tuesday, the day of Mars, we have Moon still in Aries, about to move to Taurus. But still in Tuesday, we have the echoes, you can call it, or the aftermath of the eclipse. So just be aware that there is still going to be some backlash, you can say, from the eclipses. So Tuesday, especially because it's the day of Mars, and Mars is the ruler of Aries, and the eclipse was a solar eclipse, as in Sun and Moon in Aries. Chiron is in Aries. There's definitely a lot of Aries activities. The deposer of those, of all these planets in Aries, which include Venus, the North Node, Chiron, the Sun, Mercury, the Moon, is in Pisces on top of Saturn. So we have definitely a connection between the cluster of energy in Aries and the cluster of energy in Pisces, even though the Moon moved into Aries. We still have 70% of the chart on Tuesday in Aries and Pisces, and they're linked together because the ruler, the deposer, what we call, of all of these planets in Aries, the one that gives them energy, is actually in Pisces, sitting on top of Saturn. So definitely there is, again, a lot of consolidation of the energy of Mars, action, movement. But because Mars is in Pisces, the filter by which Mars is experienced here and now in the below is through water, through emotions, through intuition. But also Pisces confusion. Pisces can be addictions. Pisces can be lack of boundaries. So you might be doing too much, or somebody around you might get needy or want a lot from you, or you might feel like you're being sucked and your energy is feeling so depleted and so down. And there is also a little bit of danger there with anything to do with the immune system, lymphatic system, and your feet. So just watch these parts of your body, again, especially on Tuesday. But on Tuesday, we're shifting gears and we're moving towards the Moon in Taurus, kind of going to guide us Tuesday, late Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We're going to have the Moon in Taurus. It's the Moon of Success, and she's going to be going over Jupiter and Uranus much more on Wednesday and Thursday. So Wednesday and Thursday are a great day for business, for money, for purchases. But again, be careful because it's Mercury retrograde. So yeah, you can maybe buy something you wanted to buy before and didn't, or bought before and returned. Okay, so you can just go over all of the list of the things that you've returned lately to whatever outlet you're buying stuff from, and maybe try again. So remember, with Mercury retrograde, the rule is you can always try something, start something new, if it was something you started in the past and failed to complete. But the Moon moving into Taurus for Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is going to really help us a lot. We have the Sun still on top of Chiron. There's still healing being done on Tuesday. But again, the fact that the Moon is moving into Taurus is going to really help financially. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday should be much more flowing financially. Besides that, we have a square between Pluto and the Moon on Tuesday. This is not comfortable. It could be leading you to manipulation, power struggles, issues, especially with mother figures or women bosses. There is or family members in general. It's not the nicest thing when the Moon is squaring Pluto. This happens, unfortunately, twice a month, so it's not that rare. But still, we're talking about Pluto being in a fixed sign, which is Aquarius, the Moon being in a fixed sign, Taurus. They get really fixated and they don't like to move. There's less, let's say, flexibility in a sense to deal with this square. So just be aware, while it's really good that the Moon is going to be in Taurus, especially the late Tuesday, beginning of Wednesday, there might be a feeling of emotional upsets, or even just feeling down without knowing why I'm feeling down. And if we look at Wednesday, April 10, we have the actual conjunction, the official conjunction of Mars and Saturn. Again, Mars and Saturn are not considered to be the nicest of the planets. They're considered to be the bad boys. Mars is the young bad boy. Saturn is the old bad boy. I don't know what's worse. So both of them are considered to be maleficent, you know, and not terribly bad, but like kind of. So if we look at the degree that it's happening, an officer preparing to drill his men, oopla. So yeah, that makes sense why the 14 degrees Pisces, when you have your Mars on top of Saturn, you literally have the officer preparing to drill his men. His men will be, of course, Mars, and the officer, of course, is Saturn. Because remember I told you, older guys, younger guys, a mixture of those. So that actually is a symbol that we can work with, especially during this week when we know that there is the threat of war, the threat of retaliation of the war that is a retaliation of another war that is a retaliation of another war, and so forth until the first punch that was probably delivered somewhere in East Africa between two apes or two humanins. Anyway, Mars on top of Saturn, 14 degrees Pisces. Be careful, be very careful on Wednesday. So even though we have the moon in Taurus, the moon of success, I don't want it to be the success of you killing someone. So be a little bit more careful. There is much more explosive energy. But to be honest, when Saturn is sitting on top of Mars, it doesn't have to be all bad, because it means that the soldier is under control of the officer. And hopefully, if it's a good officer, he knows what he's doing. Even though what was proven to be the case with the tragedy with the seven kitchen workers in Gaza is that one of the officers there basically made a mistake. So in Israel. So we have also officers that make terrible mistakes. And maybe that's one of the issues that we're going to have this week on Wednesday, especially officers or commanders in the field making mistakes, or even leaders. Saturn could be a politician that is using Mars, war, aggression, soldiers, army for something not very good. How do we know it's not very good? Well, Saturn and Mars are having an opposition from the Black Moon. It can't be that good, okay? So there's going to be a lot of things that you might do in Wednesday that you regret. So just don't do them. And again, Moon in Taurus is the moon of success, and it's sometimes good, sometimes it's bad, because if you're doing something wrong, successful in that is not the best thing, right? So just be a little bit more aware on Wednesday. Again, the Moon in Taurus is sending good energy to the Black Moon. Uranus and Jupiter also are sending good energy to the Black Moon. So maybe she's having enough good energy to leave Saturn and Mars alone. And also to leave Neptune alone, because there could be a lot of deception on Wednesday. So be, again, very, very careful Tuesday and very careful Wednesday. I can't tell you even which day is kind of worse. I guess both of them are pretty intense. So just watch it, and it will be interesting to see what's going on in the news at that time, because of the eclipse this week, everything happening is going to be seen. I don't care if it's happening even during the moon void, of course, which usually people don't pay attention to what's going on. People are going to pay attention. So whatever you're doing is noticed, for good and for bad. We have Jupiter on top of Uranus. Again, anything to do with technology, innovation. I would say buy a new computer, but I don't want you to do it because it's Mercury retrograde. I don't have a problem with you buying a computer if it's secondhand. For example, my friend is now buying a Mac secondhand. I didn't say anything because he's buying a computer that was owned before. It's not the first time this computer is changing hands, literally. So Mercury is okay. Now, people would say, what about a house? You know, you buy a house, it's also a secondhand. Yeah, but we're talking about a few zeros more. I would say that this is too risky. So yes, you could buy something that you wanted to buy before and couldn't if it's the same house precisely, if that makes sense. Not like I'm going to buy a house now and it's a second house, a secondhand house, so what's the problem? I wouldn't push it so much, you know. You don't want to tantalize Mercury with tricks because he's the master of tricks, right? We have an interesting combination of 14 degrees on Wednesday. We'll have to investigate. 14 is not necessarily good or bad. It's actually associated with, No, that's 17. Yeah, 14, you know, it adds up to 5, which is war and strife. But look at the chart and see how much 14 we have. So maybe on Wednesday, pay attention to 14, just the number 14. See what's going on there. We have Mars in 14 degrees Pisces, Saturn in 14 degrees Pisces, the Moon 14 degrees Pisces on Wednesday. So there is a point where the Moon is going to be really sextiling Saturn and Jupiter. Sorry, Saturn and Mars, and we said it's an officer preparing to drill his men. 14 degrees Taurus is a man with a rakish silk hat muffled, braves the storm. Oh my God, that doesn't sound very promising. It's still a man. So we have a lot of masculine energy, even though Pisces and Taurus are feminine. So it's awfully confusing. But again, I have a feeling Wednesday can be a little bit intense. I'm not saying a little bit too many times. It's not a little bit. So just watch it. Just pay extra attention. Again, especially with your action, injuries, how you manage your body, how you manage your mind. It could be moody. Also pay attention to your finance. There could be something with finance going on. And again, I told you, Moon in Taurus happens once a month for 2.5 days. It's the moon of success, the six of diamond, the six of disc. It's great for money, but it can be this week specifically much more intense. And again, I'm saying intense, not necessarily good or bad, because the sextile, this beautiful aspect between the moon, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars is great. It's a little door opening, but because we have so much activity of the black moon and so much of this conjunction of Mars and Saturn, just be a little bit careful of enemies, competitors, or people who are sabotaging. Now let's look at April 11, we have the moon still in Taurus and she has passed Uranus and Jupiter. So Thursday is getting a little bit easier, energetically speaking. We have two things happening then. We have the conjunction of the sun on top of Mercury, which is always good for good ideas, clarity of the mind, even if it's Mercury retrograde. That's a great time to contemplate and think about things that you have done in the past, said in the past, wrote in the past, because Mercury retrograde takes you back and able to redo or fix or rectify. Remember, the most important thing in Kabbalah we have is the concept of rectification, tikkun. So when Mercury is retrograde, it does allow you to fix something that was broken in the past or bring something to the state it was before. And hopefully, if it's broken, before that it was whole. So Sun and Mercury on top of each other, and it's happening 22 degrees Aries. 22 is always a very important degree. It is a master number. It's associated with building, with creating. So again, this is actually, Thursday is a good day to come out of the funk of the eclipse and the funk of that conjunction and to get down to business, especially because you still can get the tail end of the moon being in Taurus. So again, it's the moon of success. There is not that much oppositions in that day. Actually, there is no oppositions in that day. And we have a beautiful trine of Venus and Minerva closing in. So there's a connection between art and wisdom, the art of wisdom, the wisdom of art. So there's something about a wisdom coming to you for your relationship, for decisions about finance, for beauty, design, art, colors. You get a lot of clarity on Thursday. So Thursday, the clouds are starting to move around a little bit and become more comfortable to bear. So that's really good. And at the end of Thursday, we're having the moon moving into Gemini. The moon in Gemini is going to happen on April 12th. So April 12th, we have the moon in Gemini, and Jupiter is only a degree away, a degree and a half away from Uranus. It's getting very, very close. So let's say from April 11th to April 21st, that is the once in 13, 14 years Jupiter conjunct Uranus. It's a big, big deal. We'll dedicate next week for that for sure, because it's going to be very close to the actual occurrence. And next week, we're also going to talk a little bit about Passover and the Last Supper. So we have on this weekend, Friday and Saturday, we're going to have the Moon in Gemini. Moon in Gemini is great for communication. If there's something you need to talk about with a partner, partner in work, partner in life, Friday, Saturday is great. Friday even better, because on Friday we have a beautiful sextile. Remember, it's a little door opening between Venus and the moon. And that talks about great connection with family members. It's good for real estate. It's good for healing a situation with your family members and with partners. Mars is going further and further away from Saturn. His next conjunction is going to be with Neptune. It's going to take some time. And the Sun has passed away from Mercury. So there is a feeling like, you know, the beginning of the week is like, like that. And then there's a feeling of release. You know how sometimes in yoga they force you to do like, that kind of sighing of out with your mouth. Very dramatic. So there is something about Friday, Saturday that you can kind of start chilling out just because most of the conjunction are done. Now, the thing about astrology is that, you know, the way it works is that maybe on Tuesday and Wednesday, some people in some, I don't know, place in Iran decided that that's what's going to be the retaliation and that's going to be the attack, and it's carried out later on. You know, that's the issue in astrology. It's not necessarily only when something happens, but also something is planted or planned. I wonder if planted and plan come from the same root. To plan something and a plant that plans its growth according to the seed. No, it's probably nonsense, but maybe. So the moon in Gemini, good day Friday for any kind of connection, building bridges, making peace, signing contracts, unless, you know, it's Mercury retrograde, so you have to be a little bit careful of what you're signing. But Mercury in Gemini does give you the ability to look deeply into what you're signing and decide if you want to sign it or not. But the moon in Gemini also can really help create bridges with relatives and also with neighbors and roommates if you need some. And again, the moon is going to be a little bit opposite to Minerva, but that I'm not worried about. The fact that it's going to send a beautiful trine to the south node is helping you get rid of karma that you don't need anymore. And the fact that it's connecting to the north node in a sextile is really opening new doors for you on Friday. If we look on Saturday, April 13, we have the moon in Gemini, but she's going to move in Sunday towards Cancer, which is a much more comfortable place for the moon to be. But the moon in Gemini, the only thing that she's doing on Saturday is squaring Neptune. That's not very peaceful. So even though Saturday, day of Saturn, Saturn is rest, like we said, you're supposed to kind of rest and be happy. It's not that easy when the moon is squaring Neptune. It's just a little bit lack of sleep, insomnia, not the best dreams, and there is a feeling that I'm annoyed. I'm not really happy about things. Also, it could be connected to deception, illusions. So just to be a little bit aware and not to take yourself too seriously. But that being said, the sun and the moon are sextiling. Better if they were trining, but sextile is still nice. And the moon in Gemini is sextiling Mercury, which is the ruler of Gemini, so that's also good. So there is some element of satisfaction, mini satisfaction, but the only thing is that just be a little bit careful. And again, Saturday, I don't think you're supposed to sign anything, but the fact that Mercury is retrograde and that the moon and the sun and the moon and Neptune are squaring might be not the best thing for signatures. So just stay away from signatures if you can on Saturday. But still, it's a very good time to communicate with your partners about maybe what you're planning to sign once Mercury goes direct after April 26. And finally, Sunday, April 14, we're going to have the moon in Cancer on top of Vesta. A beautiful day to be at home, to be with family members. But the only thing is that the moon is squaring Venus. So there could be some, I'm staying with the family members and then I'm having a hard time with my partner. So partnerships might be a little bit tougher, but with family, there could be some more clarity or more positive energy. Still, there is no opposition, which is amazing. It's great. Most of our problems are in our head. So if you're forcing yourself to do things that you really shouldn't be doing, know that it is a square. This is not an opposition. The planets are not to be blamed. So just to be aware, but look at that conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus. It's 1 degree away. It's getting tighter and tighter. And next week is going to actually be the time that they're really coming together. Next week also, we're going to have the conjunction of Venus and Chiron. That can bring a little bit of issues in relationship, partnership, and even in finance. We'll talk about it next week. That's going to be geared towards the week after. But the moon in Cancer on Sunday is actually pretty cool. It's flowing very well. The moon is also going to be sextiling Jupiter and Uranus. It's going to be sending a beautiful trine to Saturn, Mars, and Neptune. And again, the law is going to be like that. Whenever the moon nowadays is going to be in a feminine sign, it's really helping Saturn, Mars, Neptune, Jupiter, and Uranus. Great for all of these planets. For Saturn, it's a trine, a big opening. For Mars, a big opening. For Neptune, a big opening. Anyway, anytime the moon is going to be in Cancer or Capricorn or Virgo or Scorpio or Pisces or Taurus, it's helping because it's sending a trine to these planets. Anytime the moon is in a masculine sign, which is air sign or fire sign, for example, Aries or Gemini or Leo or Libra or Sagittarius or Aquarius, it's going to create a beautiful flow, a sextile and a trine to the Aries planets, which are composed of the Sun, Mercury, and Venus. So because there is such a powerful, let's say, stellium over there in Aries and Pisces, the moon moving around masculine and feminine signs are going to be respectively sending good vibe to Aries or sending good vibe to Pisces. So it's not so bad. And Sunday, it's enhancing the feminine energies of more relaxation, more rest, and more flow, especially to spend time in water will be a great time for next Sunday. So what I wanted to do now is just a little bit, yesterday I was talking to my friend, and some of you know her, Noah Tishby, and she's really active in fighting anti-Semitism. And we're talking about, I pulled out the chart of Israel because I don't know, we're talking about something with Israel. So I wanted to share it with you if I can find it. Because there is an interesting thing that's happening that I've managed to kind of pay attention to. So I hope you can see this. This is the chart of Israel. And there's, I wanted to talk a little bit about the chart of Israel because of what's going on. We just finished now today, actually, 6 months of this war. It started in October 7th. So 6 months is half of the zodiac flow of the sun. So the sun managed to cover 50% of the zodiac space or the zodiac wheel to this day from when the war started. And of course, it started off with an attack of Hamas, a terror attack of Hamas that killed 1,200 people, and also with a few hundreds of hostages. And now, after 6 months, we are about 32,000 people dead in Gaza, which we believe 13,000 are militant or people that were involved in the attack. And the rest are, unfortunately, the majority is children and women. So I was thinking I should look at the chart of Israel to see if there is any kind of hope or anything happening. So a few things I've noticed in the chart that maybe I didn't notice before, maybe because it's too familiar. So first of all, this element here. What you see here is two things. First of all, you see Neptune. Neptune is the god of, or the archetype that has to do with religion. Religion, faith, and obviously, when you say Israel, immediately you see the holiest place for two religion, and the second most or third most important place for the third monotheistic religion. You're talking about billions of people that project their heart and their mind and their consciousness and their pockets towards that sliver of land that is between Africa, Europe, and Asia. That junction, that bridge. And of course, Neptune is very, very crucial because a lot of the wars there are religious war. This is ours. No, this is ours. No, Abraham was slaughtering, was trying to sacrifice Isaac. No, he was trying to sacrifice Ishmael. You know, everything's about religion. Jesus was crucified here. No, Jesus went here. This is his road of pain. This is where he was crucified. No, yeah. All of these is Neptunian issues. And when I looked at the chart of Israel, Neptune is in the 12th house. And if anybody knows astrology, the 12th house is the house of pain and suffering and isolation, meaning that whatever planets you have in the 12th house are planets that you carry from past lives, and they're planets that can be your undoing, meaning that they can be your end, because the 12th house is the last house. That's it. It's the house of completion. So having Neptune being squared by the North Node, being squared by Venus, the goddess of peace, is a very interesting thing to have in the chart of a country that suffered so much from religion. And I think that the founders of the country that were socialists, they were very, most of them were atheists. They looked at Judaism as a tradition, not as a religion per se. They were okay with having Neptune in the 12th house because they probably realized Neptune, religion, is our hidden enemies. That's what the 12th house is. The 12th house is the house of hidden enemies. So, yes, these are our hidden enemies that the religion is it. So you know what? We're going to have a secular country and we're going to raise our kids. That's how I was raised, in a secular situation. And that way there shouldn't be so much hate between Jews and Arabs and Christians and Druze and Baha'is and whatever is living in Israel, because religion is not that important. Unfortunately, that Neptune raised his ugly face in the last 20, 30 years, let's say. And religion, especially messianic religion, became so dominant in Israel society and especially in politics, especially right now, unfortunately, in the last year in this terrible government they have right now. So that is that Neptune in the 12th house that is constantly being agitated and aggravated. And then I thought, okay, this war is happening. Where is Saturn? Saturn, remember, is the Lord Karma. Where is Saturn in the chart of Israel when this war is taking place? And then I've noticed it's in the fifth house, which is kind of intense because the fifth house is the house of love and the house of children. And I remember when I was talking to her yesterday, I don't get it. Okay, no love to Israel or not? Oh, well, first of all, there is no love to Israel. I think that it's getting more and more towards the situation where Israel is going to be like the pariah. Everybody thought it's going to be Saudi Arabia, and now it's apparently going to be Israel. When you say Israel anywhere in the world, it has a terrible brand. Nobody loves us. So that's Saturn in the house of love. Yes, it's once in 30 years that you're unloved or feeling that people don't get me or people don't understand my pain. That could be part of it. But also it's the house of children, and I thought, okay, now it totally makes sense. Saturn, karma, in the chart of Israel, it's now in the house of children. It's not only about the Palestinian children. I think they were talking about 14,000 dead, 17,000 are basically without a company of an adult, basically roaming around that devastating place. But I also thought about all the children, you know, Saturn in the house of children, all of these young kids that were dying or that were kidnapped or killed and raped in the Nova party. And then I was thinking about all these 18, 19 year old, 20 year old kids that my sister, my friends in Israel have to send their kids to Gaza to fight. And they're taught and they're told to basically shoot people and get to this place where they're detached from their emotion in order to be able to protect their country or to do the bidding of a government that somewhere at around 70 to 80% of the country does not believe anymore. And every Saturday there's demonstration against that country, that government. So it's kind of interesting that it is happening when Saturn is in the house of children. And that's going to continue until middle of 2026. The biggest issue that Israel is having in the transit is Uranus coming on top of the sun. That happens every 84 years. So it's the first time it happens to the country as a country, because the country is only 75, 76 years old. So it's every 84 years that Uranus, the planet of unpredictable, crazy, wild energy, the wild card, the awakener, is moving on top of the sun of the country. That's going to happen in May. It's going to happen again in October, December. It's happening next year. It's basically covering this whole year, and it's starting right now. And basically, it means unpredictability around the leadership of the country, which is a terrible thing for a country. Literally, Uranus is the Joker, the Fool. Dionysius qualities is meeting Apollonian qualities, which is a big clash, if you remember from the philosophy of Nietzsche. But it's already started in Greek medicine, the connection between Apollo, which is risen, and Dionysius, which is chaos. And they're coming together for the first time in 84 years in May. So May 23rd. So my concern is that there's going to be some flaring of unpredictable things around, probably in the north, maybe with the government, maybe hopefully toppling of the government, who knows. But again, the sun in the country a lot of time does talk about the self-expression of the country, which is basically the leadership, and Uranus is disruption and chaos. So that's going to be in May. I think that that's probably, you know, after Passover, the 22nd of April, as we move into Taurus, which is the country's sign, as well as the Palestinian sign. There could be some element of chaos there. So hopefully it will be for the better in the future. I'm pretty optimistic on the long, long, long run. I'm pretty pessimistic on the short, short run. So what a very nice way to end our little conversation. Anyway, I hope things will get better. I'm wishing you a happy eclipse to all of you guys. And I promised. Yeah, I forgot. I promised to tell you where the eclipse is going to be for each one of the signs. So for Aries, it is going to be about your sense of body, direction, your sense of self. And because the eclipse is happening to you in your sign, it's about everything. It's about you. It's about all aspects of your life. For Taurus, it's more about letting go, memories from past lifetimes, cutting away from, like we talked about, hidden enemies. That's Taurus energy of which we talked about is Palestine and Israel. So it's all about imagination, past lifetimes, memories from past lifetime. For Gemini, it's about friendships, community, companies, governments, organizations. For Cancer, it's about career and figures of authority, father figures, superiors, and their glory, their kleos. For Leo, it's about travel, foreign cultures, foreign traditions, teaching, learning, truth, philosophy, but there could be some issues with in-laws. For Virgos, it's about sexuality, transformation, shamanism, healing. For Libra, it's about relationship and partnership. And for Scorpio, it's about work, health, diet, routine, sense of service. For Sagittarius, it's about children, love, happiness, and creativity. For Capricorn, it's about communication, relatives. For Aquarius, it's about money, talents, and sorry, I missed somebody. Yes, for Capricorn, it's about home and family, real estate. For Aquarius, it is about business and communication. And for Pisces, it's about money, talents, and self-worth. Hope that makes sense. So goodbye, happy eclipse. I hope you guys are going to have an amazing week, even though some part of me kind of doubts it. But we can always be optimistic. So thanks a lot and good luck.